Get a focus again. Just like if you took a camera and you click that thing and things that were blurry start to come into focus. That's what Scripture does for us. As we study God's Word, it helps us understand what life is about. And we get a good, clear picture of what really matters. And so, what were some things that we looked at? Do you remember the first couple that help us bring things into focus? What were a few of those things that are really important? Yeah. Praying is a good thing to do to help ask God. Yeah, it helped us come into focus. But what are some things we studied specifically? That's another good thing we can do. Yeah. What were some of the things we mentioned from Colossians, though, that were some big things that will help us understand what life, what really matters in life? You guys remember?
Trust.
Trust, absolutely. The will of God. Trusting that God knows best for us. What else? What's the big thing? The big thing. Yeah.
Faith
in what?
Jesus.
In Jesus. The gospel. The gospel is the life-changing thing. And so if we have faith and we have trust and we have Christ, then all of a sudden things around us make sense because Jesus is the most important thing. And so everything we look at, we could say, I can see Jesus in that. Or we can compare it and say, how important is this really in light of eternity? Because Jesus gives us eternal life. So how big is this thing really right here on earth in comparison to all that Jesus has in store for us? And so we can kind of look and it brings things into focus that might be a little blurry to us right now. And so here we go. This week we're looking at Colossians 1, verses 21 to 23. And before we start, you guys can pop open there. I want to show you a quick picture of something. This is an old, I'm trying to get the timing right, but it's not going to. Car. There you go. All right. Isn't that sweet? Now, look at the picture on the left. If I hadn't shown you what was on the right and you just saw that, what would you think? Would you be like, sweet, let me drive that thing down the road? How many of you guys would want to drive that? Yeah, right. Or I asked the wrong age group, apparently, because you want to drive anything that has wheels. That's true. But I mean, how sweet do you think you'd look driving down, like, you know, like down, I don't know, Cocoa Beach, down along the beach, and the one on the left? Right? People will be like, whoa, is that thing going to fall apart? Is it going to like kill me with smoke? Like, what's going on? That thing looks a mess. Does it even have an engine inside of it? As a matter of fact, if you look close at the interior, I'm not even sure how much is like on in the interior there. Like, are there even seats? I can't really tell. But it's pretty messy looking. That car on the right is the same exact car. Somebody came and said, you know what? This could be a beautiful car. I see potential in this thing. It looks like a wreck right now. You might not want to drive it around and look all cool in that one, but by the time I put some paint on it and I restore this thing and I make it brand new, it's going to shine and sparkle. Look how beautiful that one on the right is. Now that thing's pretty sweet looking. Now if I ask you, hey, how many of you guys would like to drive down the strip on that in that puppy, you'd all be like, woohoo, yeah, I want to. That's cool. It's a sweet old car. And you'd look like you're hot rodding down the road. Now here's the deal. I'm not like the greatest mechanic in the world, so when I look at the car on the left, I'm like, that's impossible. That thing is a piece of junk. Like, who could ever do that type of work to make it look as beautiful as the car on the right? So when I see stuff like that, I'm amazed at the people that can come along and can do that type of work and make it look so incredible. Because for me, it just seems almost impossible. For me, when I look at that, my perspective, my view on that is like, no way. No way that could ever happen. But then I see the end result. I see that same exact car look that's so beautiful. And I'm like, wow, it is possible. But I get this like sense of respect for the people that could actually get it done, because I know I couldn't. I know that if I were left alone with that car, it would probably end up falling apart more. It would look worse by the time I was done working at it. I'd pop the tires, I'd break the doors, I'd do something, I would just mess that car up. It would never run. But somebody was able to come along and do some awesome work and turn it into that beautiful thing that it is on the right. That gives me some respect in my heart for that person. Now, what we're going to study tonight is kind of a similar deal, but much bigger than just a car. We're going to look at, Paul is actually giving us a snapshot of us. So imagine if you were a before and after picture. Imagine if your life were that before and after picture, not physically, not like I was like really chunky and then I lost 10 pounds and now I'm really, not that type of deal, okay? Your life, your heart. The way you talk to mom and dad. What you do in school. How you talk and act when you're around your friends. When nobody's looking. Those private, secret thoughts that go through your head all day long. Your honesty. Put those things about your life in the before and after shot up there real quick. And say, what does my life look like without Christ? What does my life look like without this awesome Jesus that comes along as He's able to do an incredible work that I can't do. He could take this broken life that I have and turn it into something absolutely beautiful. But only He can do it. We're kind of like that mechanic that stinks and He's not able to. Me. Like, grab that car and I just break it more. That's us with our lives. But Jesus is that awesome mechanic that can come along and He can say, look, I know all these things about the secrets in your heart. I know the thoughts that go through your head. I know what you do when nobody's looking and how you treat your friends and act just around. I know all that. But I am capable of taking that and making you so much better. Not just changing some things about you, but making you absolutely, totally brand new. And so if you were that before and after shot, what would that look like? And that's what I want you to think about tonight, because that's exactly what Paul is going to talk to us about tonight in Colossians 1, verses 21 to 23. All right? So read with me. It says, and you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So here's that before and after shot that Paul gives us of us. So as we look at this view, this perspective that's going to help us come more into focus tonight, one thing we need to know, beyond the will of God, beyond the gospel, beyond who Jesus is specifically, we need to know who we are. Who are you? Who are you without Christ? And who are you now with Christ if you've believed on Him? Because as we understand where we fit in this big puzzle, because we keep talking about really big thoughts and ideas, we're talking about Jesus, and we talked 2 weeks ago about how incredible and huge Jesus was. Remember how we talked about how He created every molecule in existence and how He's just so powerful we can't even fathom how big He is, and yet He's so personal that He loves us and has a plan for us specifically by name. But how do I picture this huge Jesus and really get a good view if I don't even know who I am? And so tonight, Paul's going to help us understand who we are and where we fit into this big puzzle. All right, so look at verse 21. He says, and you. Let's just start off with us. And you. He points us out. It's kind of cool because if you look at the next verse, he changes the subject there. And then he starts saying he. And we'll see that in just a second. But right now, he's going to talk about us. This is where we fit in this thing. You. You know, it's interesting that he says you. We can stick we there. Because all of us are in the boat here together as we have this little talk. We are in a certain spot that we need to understand. Jesus Christ is the only one who could come and help us. Now here's the deal. Some of us don't believe that. Some of us are sitting here and it hasn't even crossed our mind that we even need a Jesus or that there even is a God or that we even care. And we're so concerned with other stuff because it just hasn't crossed our mind yet. But tonight, one thing we need to realize about us is that He's making it personal here. He's looking at us saying, listen, this is about you. And so as we read this, we could say we, because He's literally applying this maybe to the Colossians, but to us as readers of this book, the same thing applies. This has to do with us. Where are we? Are we good if we don't know Christ? Where are you going? Where will you be when you die? Who do you have to turn to when life falls apart here on earth? Who do you have to trust? What if everything was taken away from you? What would you have then? These are all questions that we need to be able to answer. And there's one really, really good answer that He's going to give us to all of those questions and makes it really simple for us. But I'm not going to skip ahead yet. All right, He says, in you. So He made it personal with us. Who once. See those next two words? We're going to go just little chunks here because He says such really powerful things in just a few words. But who once, at one time. What do you think that implies? Wait, at one time, like, you feel the timing he's talking about? Like, at one time, he's talking about the past, right? So he's talking to some people who have gone through some stuff. There's been a change in their life. And at one point in the past, they were a certain way. But now, because he said once, we're going to see in the next verse, he says, but now. So he's comparing. So there it is. There's our before and after shot we just talked about at the beginning. The before. So we're in the before. At one time, you guys were this way. Something happens, and now in the after shot, now, this is what you look like. And hopefully, that thing that changes you is Jesus. That line that's drawn before the before and after is Christ, and the after is much, much better than the before. Because as we were lost and had no idea how to answer any of those questions I just asked you, where are you going when you die? Who do you have to turn to in this life? What if you lost everything? Who would be there for you? If you couldn't answer those questions, here's the answer. It's Christ. It's the God of all of creation who we studied 2 weeks ago is the most powerful being in all existence, and He loves you personally. What an awesome person to have here in the middle. Because as you trust Him, your aftershot has a lot of promise. It means you can answer all those questions. It means you could say, I have Jesus. When I die, I'll be with Jesus. If you took everything away from me, I would have Jesus. He's the difference in our before and after shot. So who wants? And then the next couple words here, it says, we're alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. There's three big things I want you guys to see here, okay? First of all, that word alienated, what does that mean? Is that like, what?
Foreign.
Foreign? Yeah, what else? How else could we describe that?
Like, from another planet.
From another planet, yeah. Like an alien. Definitely foreign, but really foreign. Where at? What else? Any other ideas? Any other words we could stick in there?
Lost.
Could be. How about the word stranger? Strangers. Not belonging to. Like, you don't belong here. If you guys went to, let's say, China. When y'all went to China. Let's say Jack. Okay? Jack goes to China. How well do you think Jack would fit in China? Do you think you'd look around in a room full of Chinese people and Jack, and you'd be like, oh yeah, they're all the same?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. He'd stick out like a sore thumb. He'd be like, who's that guy? That's a little American kid right there. He's definitely not Chinese. Like, we would notice right away. We'd see the difference. Would we say, hey, that guy right there, he's definitely from China. He's from here. No, right? We would know. He's a stranger. He's a foreigner. He doesn't belong here. Now, Paul is actually saying this about us in the before shot, because remember, we're still in the who once, right? The before, before Christ. You're strangers. Jesus actually says that one day people will arrive to the gates of heaven and they'll look at Him and say, hey, let me in. And they'll call Him Lord. And He'll look back and go, you know what? Depart from me, because I've never, ever known you. You're a stranger to me. I'm not letting you in heaven. I don't even know you. And so Paul's telling us in the before shot here, that's us. That's us. If you were to arrive to heaven today and you were to face Jesus at the gates and you were to say, Lord, hey, let me in. What would Jesus say to you? Would He look back and go, hey, I know you. I know you because you've given me your life. Come on in. Or would you be a stranger to Him? Would you be an alien, alienated from Him and say, look, you don't belong here. You're not part of my Father's family. You never gave me your heart. I don't know you. Depart from me. That's the before shot without Christ. That's who we are if we don't have Jesus. That's how we fit into this puzzle. We are total strangers to this all-powerful King, God. We're strangers to Him. We're lost, somebody said earlier. He says we're alienated. That's who we are. That's our identity, separate from Christ. But then he says some other stuff. He says, and hostile in mind. Well, guess what? If we're strangers to God, you know what our nature is? It's hostile. We're enemies. Remember, Paul was using all this war talk. He used war. We talked about spiritual warfare and how our relationship with God, if we don't know Christ, is like His enemy. We're on the other side of the battlefield. We've talked about that a whole bunch of times, where we're literally enemies of God. And so the things that we want have nothing to do with Him, because we're strangers. We're foreigners. Do you think Jack just craves Chinese food like they eat all the time? Like he's like, give me some chicken feet tonight. Yeah, but American Chinese food. You like chicken feet? I'm going to get you some chicken feet and some white rice. Yeah, it ain't the same, buddy. It's not the same. You like chicken feet?
It tastes like chicken.
No, it doesn't. You have no idea what it is. All right. You'd be like, no way! I don't desire that. Give me a hamburger. Give me American Chinese food. Give me some chicken fingers. Those are the things that I crave, that I want. Because I'm from America. You like rice. Good. Good American boy likes rice. But listen, here's the deal. When you're an alien or a stranger from God, you don't desire the things that God loves. You hate the things that God loves. And you know what we love? We love sin. We love ourselves. We love the things that make us feel good and that satisfy us because we are strangers to Christ. We are strangers to the kingdom of God. We live over here in the before shot, and all we want is to satisfy ourselves and our sinful desires that we have. Our nature is sinful because our identity is a stranger to God. Then he says this, doing evil deeds. Well, if your identity is a stranger to God and you hate the things that God loves, guess what you'll do? The things that God hates. These evil deeds, because it's in your heart and you crave it. You crave to do sin because you're sinful. That's where we are if we don't have Christ. So as we look at this snapshot of the gospel and what Jesus has done for us and the will of God and how big Christ is and loving and forgiving, we need to know this so that we can have a clear perspective and focus on what life is really about. We are lost without Jesus. And we hate the things God loves, and we love sin because we're strangers. But all of a sudden, something happens. Something really awesome happens. And before we get to that verse, I need some helpers. Just one. Just give me one helper. Somebody who... come on up here. Here's the deal.
Okay.
Are you a good actor?
Yes.
Are you a good charader?
Mediocre.
Okay, I'll take mediocre. That's good. Okay. You stand there. Come over here. All right. Paris is going to do a little bit of charades with y'all. Okay? Now here's the deal. I'm going to give you three cards. I'm only going to give them to you one at a time. That's how we're going to play this little game. And you need to charade out the best you can. No words. No like signing letters and all that stuff. Only acting out what the person is. These are all people or like kind of people-ish things, okay? On this card. You got to guess what he's doing. All right?
Oh, no,
makes sense? Be appropriate. Don't just scream rude things out. All right? Yeah. He cannot talk. It's charade, so he can only act it out. It's okay. It's all silent. Are you ready?
Oh, no. I see the first one.
Well, you can see the first one. Think about it. And when I say go, you go. You guys need to call it out. See how fast we can get this done. Ready? Yes. Set. Go.
Okay.
Don't use me.
Rocky.
Puncher. Fighter. MMA.
Body.
Kung Fu.
Jail. Prisoner.
Oh, little prisoner.
Yeah,
two to eight. Do it, dude.
Go.
What is that? That's what I thought that person. It's not. You're so close.
A big bear.
Somebody said it. What? Teddy bear. Good. A teddy bear. Good job, dude. Oh, you're awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Give him a hand. He did such a good job. Awesome. Now listen. How did you guys tell the difference? How did you know when he I changed people that he had to do? How did you know who he was? His actions told us. He acted different, right? So as I gave him a new identity, first I said, hey, your identity is a ballerina. I need you to be a ballerina. That was his identity. And what does a ballerina do?
They spin around.
Well, apparently what he did, right? Because you guys were able to guess. His actions told us. His actions came out of the identity that he had. And then when I changed his identity, guess what happened? He became a cage fighter. Was he still dancing around like a ballerina?
Yeah.
What did he do? He started fighting, right? He's a fighter. His actions changed because his identity changed. And all of a sudden I say, hey, you're not a cage fighter no more. You're now a teddy bear. Did he keep fighting?
No.
Why not? Because teddy bears don't fight, right? You have a new identity.
He was puffy and squeezy like me.
Yeah. Anyway, it's embarrassing. So listen. Here's the deal. Here's why we did this. I wanted you to see something. Paris, I want them to see something. The deal is, you will act based on who you are. You have an identity. Either your identity is an alien stranger of God who is a rebel, who hates the things of God because you don't know Christ. And therefore, your actions will be sinful. You're like, Rob, I'm in junior high. How bad can I really be? You know, even the smallest little sins, the smallest little sin was enough for Christ to have to go die on the cross. Even a junior high level sin, if that even exists, even the smallest little thing, that little white lie, was enough to be rebellion against God, that Jesus would literally be beaten and tortured and hung on a cross to die for us. Even the little things. God hates sin. And if that's our identity, if we don't have Christ, you know what we are destined to do? Sin. But here's the awesome news. This next verse gives us awesome news. Just like we changed Paris's identity, Christ can change our identity from the before to make us look very different afterwards. So let's see how he does this. Look at the next verse here. Verse 22, he says, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Jesus is who he's talking about. See how it says he? At first he said you. This is how you are. You are a stranger, and by yourself you can do nothing. You're helpless. You can't change yourself. You can't go, hey God, I'm going to try really hard, God. I'm not going to lie this week. Hey God, I'm going to be really nice to my friends. God, I'm going to go to church every single Wednesday and Sunday. Then you can save me because I'll be better. That doesn't work. You can do nothing. So this verse says he had to do it. Jesus had to reconcile you because you couldn't change your before and after shot. You're that mechanic like me that can't change that car. You just make it worse. Jesus had to come down and change that for you. So it says he reconciled us. Now, what do you think the word reconcile means? Any ideas?
To bring back.
To bring back? That's a good way to look at it. Any other thoughts? That's not it. No, that's not it. Okay, if you think about it, let me know. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Bring
two things together that were like previously separated. Yeah, to make something right. All you guys are right. To make a right relationship. To fix a relationship. Two things that belong together that were broken apart and they're brought back together again and fixed. Now listen, that is exactly what Jesus does for us. Because we're stuck over here in the before shot, but Jesus comes and reconciles us. You know that he's literally the peace treaty? Because we're enemies of God. And Jesus himself is the peace treaty. You guys know what a peace treaty is? It's this piece of paper that you both sign and agree that you'll stop fighting and that you'll come back together and things will be right and war will end. You become friends again. Jesus' blood literally is what that treaty was signed with to make you right with God. So that Jesus can come along because he's perfect, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, how big he is and how perfect he is. He's the perfect sacrifice to come along and go, I can make peace with you and my Father, because guess what? He's my Father. Even better, he could say, because I'm God. And I choose to forgive you if you just have faith in me. And so Jesus pays a penalty for all that sin that we did over there in the before shot. And all the other sin that ever exists, Jesus says, I'm big enough to pay for all of it. And I will. And I'll make peace between you and God. But here's what you got to do. Look at what he says next. In order to present you, you know what Jesus is going to do? You know what this purpose of this whole thing is? It's to present you before God. You know that you can't stand in God's presence if you don't know Christ? As sinners, we can't enter the presence of God. Like you could never walk into... What would happen if we entered God's presence? Any ideas?
He would burn up.
He would burn up? Well, here's the deal. You can't. You know why? Because God can't. What? You'd explode. Okay, these are all thoughts. Absolutely. We're not really sure what exactly would happen if we physically walked in His presence. The point is you can't because God hates sin. We don't have access to God. He cut off our access to Him in that way because He hates sin. And so the only access that we have is Jesus. And we looked at Hebrews way back when that talked about how He tore this veil in the temple. This veil that separated the holiest of all holy places where God's glory resided. No one was allowed in there. And when Jesus died, that thing tore, saying, hey, now you all have access to God. And we talked about prayer, remember? A few months ago? How prayer is an awesome example of how we can go straight to God and talk to Him if we know Christ. We can go to God and say, hey, I'm right in Your presence. I can talk to You. I can ask You for things. I can tell You what's on my heart. I have a relationship with You again that I couldn't have before. But sin prevents us from having a relationship with God. To really know Him and be known by Him. Jesus makes that possible. And He wants to be able to present us to God. And that's why He made the sacrifice. And look how. He didn't want to just take that old car that we saw on the left. That old beat up car. You know, if somebody you loved was having a birthday, would you be proud of taking that old beat up version of that car and giving it to them for their birthday? Put a nice pretty bow on it. You know, a nice car. And be like, there you go. What did you just give me? You just hauled trash into my driveway, right? Well, I could have got that at a junkyard. Unless they like to work on old cars, it wouldn't have been a great gift. But what if you drove in that shiny, beautiful car and put a big, nice bow on it and a card and they walk out and saw it and you hand them the keys? How do you think they'd respond? What? Right? Absolutely. This thing's awesome. Now here's the deal. Jesus doesn't want to give God this version of us. The sinful before version where we're broken and destroyed and we hate the things that God loves. He doesn't want to take that version of us and present it to God. He can't because it's sinful. And so He changes us and makes us completely new. He presents a version of us that is so much better. It's totally new from what we were before. Where we love the things God loves. Because we love God. And look at how He describes us. First, He changes our identity just like we did to yours. Changed from ballerina to cage fighter. Like He changes our identity. He gives us a brand new slip and says, this is what you are now. You're holy. I'm choosing to make you holy. And your identity is now in Jesus Christ. You're holy because you're in Jesus. Because His blood covered you when He died on the cross. And so when God looks at you, He sees something that has been totally accepted. You are acceptable to Him. You've been made holy. Now, with that change of identity, remember, just like we changed Paris' identity, something else changed. His nature. Who he was. Look at the next part. And blameless. Your nature changes. Your desire to love God changes. Instead of loving sin and other things, you love God. And you quack like a duck sometimes. Oh, wait. No, that wasn't it at all. That's just my ADD. What was that? That's okay. Turn off. So your nature changes, right? And you love the things God loves. And then finally, look at the next phrase. He says, and above reproach, your actions change. Just like we saw Paris didn't, the teddy bear didn't dance like a ballerina, and hopefully the cage fighter didn't. That'd be weird. Right? Just part time, you know. So, no, he totally changed. His actions changed because who he was changed. Now, here's a question for you. If you're here tonight and you're like, I believe in Jesus, you know what Jesus has done? He's changed your identity. He's brought you from here in this old version of you that loves sin. He gave you a brand new identity that was holy, and He said, look, I'm making you mine. You're part of God's family. Now you love the things God loves, so what should we do? If we love the things God loves, we should do the things God loves. Because now we're different. We're not going to throw punches as a ballerina. We're going to live like Christ because we love Christ. Because our identity is found in Christ, we change and we act different. We hate sin. Lying changes in us. We become people that hate dishonesty. And cheating on our homework and our tests. We know it's wrong. The way we treat our friends and gossip and talk behind people's back and the words we use in the locker room or on the field. That stuff starts to change in us because now we hate it because we love God. And our actions change and we do the things God loves because we love Him. And so Jesus makes this change, and the after shot is way better than the before shot. And look who He's presenting us to. It says, before Him. before God Himself. Now imagine with me if you had to stand before God Himself today. Now just before you're so quick to be like, that'd be sweet, let's check it out. When I was in high school, I was taking this art class. Now here's something you need to know about me. I can't even draw stick figures. I am extremely unartistic every way. Now, I was taking an art class. Wasn't working out too well for me. And at the end of this art class, I was so nervous. Remember I told you before, when I get nervous, I just throw up. If I have to it used to be that if I had to talk in front of people, I'd throw up, you know, that whole deal, which I'm over. But anytime I got nervous at school, I was always throwing up before tests, the whole deal. Art made me freak out. And I was like, no, this is so scary because people are going to laugh at me. They're at a point they're going to just make fun of me. I can't draw. I can't paint. I can't do anything. We had to make up an art project. And our teacher called it our masterpiece. I was like, mine is not going to be a masterpiece in any way. I got another word for what mine's going to be, okay? And so this masterpiece had to be presented at the end of the year in front of the entire class and all the other art classes in our school. And you would bring it up, and she called it her little art gala. She made it all sound all like, you know, special and stuff. And I'm like, no, I didn't even want to be in art. I wanted to be in kickball. I did not want to be over here. I don't like this. I'm not doing it. I'm getting all sick and like puking in the bathroom and stuff. And so I got to bring up my artwork. And let me tell you, it looked like it was this painting thing I had to do. And it looked like a cat had just got ran over by a semi-truck. It was just like splattered. I didn't even know what it looked like anymore. It was supposed to be this scene of like a house with trees and like another country. It was some like cultural thing. I was like, yeah, I can't do that. So there's my splattered cat, whatever it ended up looking like. And I had to bring it up and show everybody and walk it around and then put it on the podium and then talk about it and the whole deal. And the whole time I'm bright red. I'm sick to my stomach. I know this is horrible. And as I look around me at all the other people that had gone before, and their pictures were everywhere, it was like the most beautiful like paintings, and you knew exactly what they were, and they were done like perfectly. And then there was my splattered cat, you know, like, oh, it was so embarrassing. So as I stood there, I just felt so like vulnerable. I don't know if you guys even understand that word, but like, I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't hide it. There's my nasty painting that everybody would see that I was a horrible painter. And they would be able to compare it to the beautiful ones all around me, and they would look at me and they would know exactly what I brought to the table. There it was. Anyone sing in here? Any good singers? Okay, so I'm talking to everybody but the ones with their hands up. Everybody else who can't sing, imagine if you were on like The Voice. Okay? Or imagine, forget The Voice. What about just here, right? What if I was like, hey, I want you to come up here and sing us a song real quick? I'm gonna give you a mic. Manny's going to pull out the guitar and play for you, and you're going to sing a solo for the group. How would that make you feel as you stood on the stage in the spotlight? Horrible. You'd run out the door. I would too. Like, that would make you feel horrible. I would be throwing up again, right? So, bad deal. What if, what else? You guys starting to get the point here? Well, how about anyone dance? Anyone can dance in this room? Good dancers? Break dance, whatever. Get crunk. Yeah? Okay, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who can't dance, the one who didn't raise their hands. What if I made you come up on this up here and like do a little breakdance move for everybody and dance? Get Mr. Crawford to play some like, right? No, I'm not going up there. I have zero rhythm. Like you'd think I'm like, no, just not good. Not good at all. Now, listen, here's the deal. Jesus wants to take us like I did in my art class, and present us before the standard of perfection, the King of the universe. There was no one bigger, no one better, no one more perfect. And He can see straight through you and knows everything about you. And as Jesus brings you to God, how would that make you feel if you had to go up there alone? Not knowing Christ, just the way you are. With the sin in your heart that God can clearly see, you present that to Him and say, God, here I am. I would feel so small because I know I'm unworthy. I know He will see the sin in my heart. Now, here's the deal. Jesus never said you got to do it alone. Jesus said, I'm the difference in your before and after shot. I'm going to come down and I'm going to change your heart and your identity and your whole life. And so when I present you to God, you will be covered by my blood and totally forgiven and made holy. And you will be totally acceptable. A beautiful masterpiece, not some splattered cat, all right? A beautiful masterpiece because Jesus made all the difference in your life. And here's how it happens. This is how I'm going to close with this. Listen. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Faith. Do you really believe in Christ? Now he says there's some people that, you know, their faith, they shift and move. See all that up? They need to be steadfast and stable. Now here's the deal. We get a lot of people who are religious, and you're like, yeah, you know, like, I feel like I'm not sure what's going to happen to me after I die, so I need some sort of religion and whatever. There's a Baptist church. I'll just go believe in whatever they believe, and I'll be good. You know what happens a little bit later? Because it was just some religion for them, they walk right away from the faith. It was never real. It was never a relationship with God. It just became some religious thing. Well, my parents do this, so maybe I should also do it too, you know? Or I get some friends that go to that church, maybe I should go too and do whatever he does. That's not the faith he's talking about. He says, if indeed. You know what that means? If genuinely, sincerely, you truly believe and have faith in this gospel that you heard, this good news that Jesus is the only one that can make a difference in your life. And that we need to surrender our hearts to Jesus and start to love the things God loves. Because He's changed us. That's a faith that doesn't shift or move. That's this faith that has been, this good news that has been proclaimed under all of creation. Now it's been proclaimed to you tonight. As you sit here, you just heard that good news. What will you do with it? Will you believe it? There's some of you guys who are hearing, like, I've already believed it, Rob, 100% with my whole heart, I believe that. So my question to you is, what are you doing with it? Are you taking it to other people? Are you loving God and growing in God, or are you just sitting on it? Jesus made an incredible sacrifice, something that we could never do by ourselves. Jesus did for us. What are you doing with it? Before we close, I want you to see this video, this one last video. I got one more thing to say after it's done. But check this thing out.
We all know where our blessings come from. And for me, that's from God. And no matter how many fans come out or 100,000 people are cheering, I know that my strength and my ability is from Him. I never really thought my struggles were something that it was just on me. I always felt like I had a hard heart towards God and just resisted it in every way you could. And all the failures and all the tough times growing up and a single parent home and just a rough childhood, all those things led me to resist God. And finally, when I opened my heart to Him and I met my wife, that was really when I knew that God had a plan for me and that He was what I needed. Really, God just, He didn't resist me. He took me in His arms and just showed me what life is all about and really what I'm here to, on earth to do, and that's to live for Him. Every decision I make, I try to make it for God and use the right judgment to do so. Obviously, I make mistakes. I still fail every day, but I know through Him and His grace that I can have everlasting life, and I walk with Him every day. I talk to Him. It's like He's my friend. Well, my personal relationship with Jesus is personal. That's exactly what it is. I mean, God's blessed me in so many ways, and my family. I've just learned so much with Him, and having life without Him, and really resisting Him in my life, and now to a point in my life where He's so involved in it. Everything I do is that relationship with Him. That's what my life's about. And I really want to spread the word of Jesus and know the impact that He has. So without Jesus, I'm nobody. Definitely humbled by Him and my relationship with Him. I'm Jason Witten, and I am second.
You heard from an NFL player right there, the difference that God has made in his life. And as I close, what I want you guys to think about tonight and take with you this week is that each of you guys have a story. He just shared with you his before and after shot. This is what I was before God. I was bitter towards Him. I hated Him. I didn't care. And now, He's made all the difference in my life. And I wouldn't change it for the world. You guys, if you've believed in Christ, you have a before and after shot story, just like you heard Him share. Do you know it? Do you have one? And if you do, do you share it? Do you share it with your friends and family and people that need to hear this gospel that Paul's talking to us about in Colossians? Will you pray with me? Father, we love You. And Christ, we thank You that You are the difference. That You're the peace treaty, that You have reconciled us to the Father, that we can't do that. Jesus, thank You for doing that for us. Lord, I pray for these students in this room and these leaders, God, that we would be people that share our story if we have one. And that we'd be proud of it, and that we would want people to know the power of Christ in our lives and how He's changed us and made us totally new. Thank You, You've given us salvation and eternal life, and that we can be with our God forever because of what You've done. And if there are those here tonight who don't have a before and after story, they're still in the before, they don't know Jesus, God, I beg You, send Your Holy Spirit to them, Lord, and convict their heart. Do a work in them that they would receive salvation from Jesus, because we can only get it from Him. We love You, Christ. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen.